Can we give Jesus praise just one more time before we step into the Word today? Amen. Do me a favor and take your Bible and go to, or your Kindle or your iPad or your iPod or your whatever, and go to Genesis chapter 2. But before we do, I need your help this morning. Can y'all help me? Amen. Thank you, all 11 of you. I know there's 600 of you here today, but for those 11, I'm so excited that you're happy to be in God's house. Can you help me this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Somebody say, welcome home.
Welcome.
Somebody say, home.
Home.
Say, home.
Home.
Say, home.
Home.
Look at your neighbor and say, you're my homie. Hey, so let me ask you a question this morning. Where do you call home? Good answer. Victory. I like that. Where do you call home? Where is your home? North Towanda? Somebody say Rome? Ridgebury? Canton? Where? Gailton. Y'all give the Byerleys a big God bless you. Twice a week come from Gailton. Where else? Wyalusing. Man, that's a long drive. Heaven. Where else? What did you just say? Ohio? Where in Ohio? God bless you. Welcome today. Y'all let her know how much we appreciate her. So you do recognize that home is in a place, right? But here, let me go this far, Sharon. What makes a place home? Love? Family. Those are the two primary ones I've heard right now. What makes your house a home, Anna?
Having a Christian family.
Having God in your house. That's a good one. Somebody else. Food. Thank God. Who said that? Food. Man, if you ain't got no food, it ain't home. What kind of home has no food in it? I can't live in that place. What makes your place home? What makes home home to you? Huh? Love? What else? Sharing. That's good. Yeah, you can't, when people are stingy, it doesn't make home go too good, does it? What else? Happiness. That's a good one. Somebody else tell me. Furry friends. Pets. Pets can definitely make a place home, right? Can't they, Uncle Ron? What else? Yes, your mate. Safety. Thank you. Boy, that's a good one. Peace. Peace makes a place feel like home. If there's no peace, it can't feel like home, does it? I was talking to somebody this week, and they said this. I said to them, what makes a place home? And they instantly said to me, family. My home is where my family is. And then they said, I immediately thought about this place when I recognized that. Because even though I might have people that live far away from me that are related to me by DNA and by blood and might even share my last name, they said, I don't have another place where people care about my well-being and look out for me and are there to do life with me the same way I do here. And I love that. Amen? That's what home is all about. Somebody say home.
Home.
How many of you believe this place is a home?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's give God glory for that today. I had somebody text me last week, and they said, Victory Church is the best thing to happen to our family. Our children make us smile every day because of what they learn at church. They said, we're so glad we started coming to Victory and back to God. It feels like home every Sunday. You know, that's been our prayer. One of the very first prayers we ever prayed for what God would do in this special place is that it would feel like home, not because we use the right flavor of air freshener, but because the presence of God is in this place. Because there's unconditional love, because there's joy that's unspeakable, because there's a supernatural peace in this place that passes all understanding, because there's family here and people would know what it's like to fellowship in a place like that. And many of us come from or might be in a dysfunctional home, but God's home should not be dysfunctional. Can you say amen? Because He's the God of order and of perfection, not of chaos and confusion. And He's a God of peace, and that's very important for us. But everybody needs a place where they can call home. Home is the place where I belong. Can you say that today? Home is the place I belong. Let me say that again. Home is the place I belong. Home is where I'm supposed to be. You ever been somewhere and you just felt like, I'm not supposed to be here? Right? I mean, I've been in those situations before. I'm like, my goodness, what have I gotten into? Home is the place where I'm supposed to be. Home is the place that fits me. Home is the place where I can be who I'm supposed to be. How many of you know it feels good to be you? I don't want to be in a place where people have an expectation of me to be something I'm not. I'm going to be me. I'm most comfortable that way. I'm most happy that way. If you don't like me, that's okay. I'll find somebody who does. But I'm going to be me. And you be you. Amen. Home is the place where I can do what I'm supposed to do. That's powerful. When I'm at home somewhere and it's genuinely a home, I'm able, it unlocks in me the ability to do the things I'm supposed to do. Anybody know the band Daughtry? Chris Daughtry won. Come on, it's okay. Even though you're in church, you can wave at me if you've heard his stuff before. Y'all know who Daughtry is, right? Okay, and I mean, that's a little bit back for some of you, especially young people. But he sang a song called I'm Going Home, to the place where I belong, where your love has always been enough for me. And so people have this desire in them to be home. You know, when I've been traveling for a long time, I can't wait to get back home because there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. I hope you weren't clicking your heels. There's no place like home, right? And so we have that desire. And here's what I want to hear you to hear me say. That belonging, the need to belong, is one of the most basic human needs of every single person. All of us have a need to belong. Somebody say belong. Belong. Now, where do I belong? Home. Home is that place. We were all created with an inward drive and an inward desire for a few things. And that is, we want a place where we can be accepted. When someone is in a place where they're suppressed and they're rejected and they're constantly criticized and put down for who they are, let me tell you, it literally, and I mean this in the literal sense of the word, it retards that person's growth. It retards their development. It turns it, it doesn't just stop it. It turns it backwards. Amen? It's very important that we have a place where we can be accepted, where you know I am accepted in this place. That's home. Home is a place, and every human being has a desire to be in a place where they're a part. Somebody say a part. Part of something more important than themselves. God created us with a need to be a part of something bigger than we are. It does something in us. It unlocks something in us. Home is a place where we can give affection and receive affection from others. What makes a house a home? Y'all need to go to Graham's Country Store and read their signs. What makes a house a home? Love. Love makes a house a home. We need to be in a place where we can give and receive love, because the house of love is a house of healthy people. Can I just say that again today? The house where love is a house where God is, because God is love, and we're to be a people walking in love. I love Mother Teresa's quote in her book, My Life for the Poor. She says, the biggest disease today is not leprosy or cancer or tuberculosis, but rather the feeling of being unwanted, uncared for, and deserted by everybody. There is a tremendous hunger and tremendous feeling of unwantedness everywhere. And that is really a very great poverty. When you're not wanted, when you're not accepted, when you don't belong, when you don't have a place to call home, it doesn't matter how much material possession you have. It don't matter what you drive, how much money's in the bank, how nice your cars are, how many parties you throw, how many people you surround yourself with. If you don't have that in your life, you don't have anything. And you won't be able to enjoy anything. And so we've got to understand today that this is a principle that God reveals right from the beginning of the book, in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. I hope you're in Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 8. And I want to give you the three components to belonging, three components to belonging that we find in the Garden of Eden, where God created a place of perfection. Verse 8 says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Somebody say Eden. Eden.
Eden means delight and pleasure. God created a place for his family that was a delight and a pleasure to live. God made a home for his family that was a delight and a pleasure to come home to. If your home is not a delight and a pleasure to come home to, I challenge you to allow the Spirit of God to start speaking to you about how to invite him to be a part of your home. Because where God is, he is a delight and a pleasure. No matter what my address might be or how many times it might change, in the presence of the Lord, there is a fullness of joy. And I am a carrier and container of his presence. So when I'm in my house, the peace of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the joy of God, the love of Jesus Christ ought to saturate the atmosphere of that home, making it a delight and a pleasure. Can you say amen today? Thank you, baby. Three components to belonging. The first one is a place. Somebody say a place. Place. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. There he put the man who he had formed. God put man in a place. Genesis 2:15 says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. God put Adam in that garden. He put Eve in that place. Belonging comes from a place. God created a home for them. God had built a home for them. And if you back up to verse 9, and it says, out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree to grow that is pleasant to sight, and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Somebody say good and evil. So what you need to see from verse 9 is that God created a place for his children, for his family. He built a home where their physical needs were met and their spiritual needs. Their physical needs and their spiritual needs. Number one, God gives us a place. Three components to belonging. Number one is a place. Number two is people. Somebody say people. If you look down at Genesis 18, chapter 2, verse 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I love this. It's one of my favorite things to talk about at weddings and in marriage counseling. God created for 6 days. On the seventh, he rested. Every day God created, he made it. He stepped back at the end of the day and he said, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. But there came a time when he looked at Adam, and Adam was all alone. And he looks at Adam and he said, that's not good. Adam lived in a place of perfection. He lived in a place of peace. He had everything he needed. He lived in the place that God had created for him. But God looks at man and he says, it's not good that man should be alone. How many of you know today that we need people? We need people. You cannot do this life alone. You weren't made to. We're incomplete without other people. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. He said, I will make him a helper comparable to him. I will make him a helper comparable to him. I will make him somebody that will complement him. I will make him somebody that will complete him. I will make him somebody that will help him. How many of you know that every artist has a rough draft before the final product? God had a rough draft in Adam. He formed us men out of a dirt clod. Some of us haven't come too far since. But when he made Eve, it was something special. And I found some truth there. He took Adam's what part of his body? Y'all know why I love barbecue. I love Martian. I love ribs. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds, the air, the beasts of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Verse 22, then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. Here's what I want you to see. He brought her to the man. God brought her to the man. God will send you the right people. When we're at home in him, when we belong, when we're connected to the king, God will send you the people you need. You need a place, and he's prepared one for you. You need people, and God has people that you can't accomplish what he's called you to do without him. And I'm not only talking about marriage right here. I'm talking about life in general. The kingdom of God flows through connections. And you are who you hang with. And it's important for us to understand that. The three components to belonging. Number one, a place. You got to have a place that's yours. Number two, you got to have people in your life. And number three, God created you to have a purpose. Somebody say purpose. I didn't say porpoise. Purpose. Somebody say purpose. God created you for a reason. God created you with a divine design. You are not here by accident. You are not created to make a living. God put you here to make a difference. The goal is not to get out of hell. The goal is to go back to living a life like it looked in the Garden of Eden, where we live on the mission and purpose of God in the earth to spread His glory and to reflect His image and give birth to a people that don't look like us, but they look like Him. That's what God's called us to do. That gives us a mission, and there's an identity in that mission. We have a purpose in this life. If there's breath in your lungs today, you need no more reason to understand God put you here for a purpose. Amen. Come on, give Him praise. God makes no junk, and you're not here by accident. Your parents might have made a mistake, but you aren't. Amen? You're a child of God. He knew exactly what would happen. He knew when you'd be here. He counted the numbers of your head. He formed you in your mama's womb. You're still made in His likeness and in His image. You're still worth the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't care what people have told you about how you got here. I come to tell you, you're here because you've got a Father in heaven who released your spirit into the earth, and He's got a plan for your life. Purpose. If you look down at verse 15, the Bible says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it." People think Adam and Eve just sat around naked feeding each other grapes. And then they sinned and had to punch in on the time clock and go to work. That's not the case. Work is godly. Work was a part of things when they were perfect. It ain't all about leisure. That's fun. He said He put him in the garden to tend and keep it. Somebody say tend. The word tend literally means to serve and work. God has put you here to serve and work. You will find your purpose when you lay down your life and you say, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." When you say, "Mark, Lord, I want to decrease so that you can increase in me." It's not about what I want, Jesus. What do you want from my life? I've been bought at a price. I used to live my way, but now I want to go your way. I used to live by my will, but now I want your will to be done in my life. To serve and to work. He says to tend and to keep. Somebody say keep. Keep means to guard, to protect, to attend to, and to hedge out. So you know the story. Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They disobeyed Him. There can be no love in a home where there's not free will. Without free will, you cannot have love, because love is a choice. Love demanded is not love. That's so powerful. Get a hold of that. God gave man a choice because He desperately wanted a family. He wanted to love and to be loved in return. And see, He gave them a choice, and they chose to use that freedom to do what He asked them and commanded them not to do. And when they sinned, you know in chapter 3 that the Bible says that God removed them from home. He took them out of that place He had created for them. Now they were outsiders looking in. He actually placed an angel at the gate of the garden with a sword that would turn back and forth and prevent anybody from coming into that garden. Here's why. It was not an act of God's anger. It was an act of mercy, because the tree of life was there. And had they have eaten of that tree after they sinned, they would have been sealed off eternally from the presence of God. And so God removed them because He had a plan. That thousands of years later, in the perfect time, in His perfect timing, When the fullness of time had come, there would be a baby boy born in Bethlehem's manger to a virgin by the name of Mary. And he would live a sinless life. And he would die as a substitute on the cross for you and for me. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. Yet he was ridiculed and accused as a sinner. They would bury him in a borrowed tomb of a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea that nobody had ever laid in. But as Marcia said this morning, that day one went by, day two went by. But on day three, something happened just before dawn as the ground began to shake and the resurrection power that created the earth was released in the dead body of Jesus Christ as the Spirit of God kicked the end out of that tomb. Light broke forth and Jesus Christ came out of the grave. Amen. Holding the keys to hell, he defeated Satan on his own territory and he made a way for us to go back home. He made a way for us to go back home. Jesus came. This is what we're celebrating. He came to restore my ability to belong. He came to make a way for me to belong. I could not belong when I was living in sin. I could not belong apart from him. He did for me what I couldn't do for myself. He came to me when I couldn't get to him. He built a bridge over the gap. The great canyon fixed between God and me. I could not get back to Jesus, but Jesus Christ, with two beams and three nails, he built a bridge piece by piece so that I could walk back into the throne of God. I could walk back home. I could go there and be accepted and be loved and be a part of the family and enjoy a new identity, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away. I've been made brand new. Thank God for a place called home in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. In the Message, listen to what this says. It says, that's plain enough, isn't it? Is what you just heard pretty plain? Did I make it plain? Say, make it plain. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. He's talking to you. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. Watch what it says next. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. You belong here. Somebody say, I belong here. Where is here? In him. Are you at home in him today? With as much right to claim to the name Christian as anyone. But watch this. God is building a home. God is building a home. God is building a home. What is God building? And in that home, there is a place for you. So here's what I need you to know today. I need you to know today that you are at home in the body of Christ. God gives us pictures to help us see and understand things that are invisible. And so in the New Testament, the Bible describes our connection to Christ as being a part of a body. How many of you have a body today? Oh, praise God. If you don't have your hand up, this altar is going to be packed at the end of service. Father, in the name of Jesus, give them a body. Maybe you want a new body. Maybe those people didn't raise their hand. That's coming too. You know, it's a pretty good deal being a Christian. God promises you a new body. If you don't like the one you got now, just wait a little bit. He'll give you a new one. I'm at home in the body of Christ. Ephesians 5:30 says this. It says, for we are members. For we are members. We are members of the First Presbyterian Church. Is that what it said? We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Don't ever forget that. I'm a member. My finger is a member. My wrist is a member. My elbow is a member. My nose is a member. My ear is a member. My eyes are a member. The hair on my chest is a member of my body. Why are you laughing so hard, Anna? Because you've seen it. You know.
She's afraid to get in the pool with me. Look like seaweed waving. But mama likes it. Let's get back on track. Hey, Santa. For we are members. Somebody say, I'm a member. Not of a country club. For we are members of his body. Now watch. That's how close we are. That's how close we are to Jesus. That's how much we belong to him. I mean, my hand is as much a member of my body as anything else. It doesn't think of itself as separate or separated. The body speaks of place. God has a place for every part of your body. It also speaks of the power of connection, because it's through that connection to the body that life flows into the extremity. It's through that connection to the body that that member receives instruction from the head. The head tells that member what to do and when to do it and how to do it and how long to do it. He's the head, Ephesians chapter 1 says, and we're the body. That means the same blood that flows through the head flows through the body. The same authority in the head is the same authority in the same power in the head is the same power in the same identity in the head is the same identity in the body. That's the power of connection. See, to belong literally means, here's the definition, to be rightly placed in a specific position. It means to fit in one precise place. 1 Corinthians 12:18 comes to mind. But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Do you know that God puts you in the body of Christ right where he wants you? Somebody feeling guilty about complaining about where you are and who you're with this week? He puts you right where he wants you, in the body of Christ. He, matter of fact, that scripture's on my wall in my office. He has set the members, each of them, each of us, in his body, right where he wants us. Just like a jeweler looks for the perfect setting for a diamond or for a gem. Can I tell you today that God is looking for the perfect place? God is looking for the perfect place, Maria. God is looking for the perfect place, Paulette. God is looking for the perfect place, Rachel. God is looking for the perfect place, Mary, for you to radiate. He's looking for the perfect place, Don, for you that will maximize his glory. And so that when Jesus' light hits you, it'll shine to everybody around you and they'll notice the setting. It's the setting that sets it off. It's the setting. My goodness, I am happy I'm in the set place of God. Because when he sets me, there's something beautiful about that. No matter how dirty that diamond might get, no matter how beat on it might get, when it's in the right setting, sometimes it might just need a little washing, but when it's in the right setting, there's something beautiful about that. God wants to show off through you. Three components to belonging. Number one, a place. Number two, people. Number three, a purpose. In Christ, watch this. It's about to come full circle. In Christ, God restores, number one, my place. In him, when I'm at home in him, he restores my place. God has created a place for you. A place in the body of Christ, a place in the earth, a place in a family, and a place in his house. He made a place for me when he went to Calvary. Can you say amen? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says this. It says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly, what's that word? Places. Places. I've got to have a place to belong. He seated me in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. John chapter 14 verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place. I'm going to get you ready a place. Can I tell you, he doesn't just have a place for you on earth. He's made a place for you in heaven. Hallelujah. He's getting it ready just for you. Just like Matt, y'all got that nursery ready for Colton to come home and to be in
that place. God is preparing a place just for you. He knows you better than anybody knows you. I believe he's decorating and fixing it up just the way you like it. That means I'm going to have a man cave that is off the hook, Nate. He's preparing a place for you. I'm at home in the body of Christ. Somebody say, I'm at home. You've got to understand today that I'm at home in the family of God. So God gives us a picture of a body to understand. He gives us a picture of a family to understand what it is he wants to do in us and for us and then through us. I'm at home in the family of God. Somebody say family. I'm not talking about the Adams family either. I'm not talking about modern family either. I'm talking about God's family. One man, one woman that give birth to babies. Amen? That's God's definition of a family. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. This has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with him. He defined it. Who am I to redefine it? That's what family is. John chapter 1 verse 12. But to all who believe in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children. Somebody say children. Plural. Children of God. Family speaks of people. Family speaks of connection. He created man and woman as his children. Man and woman came together, and that's called marriage. When they united, they had kids. That's called their family. When family and family unites, it's called community. When community and community unite, it's called nation. God designed us to have a connectedness, and in Christ, God connects me to the right people to accomplish his will for my life. Because can I tell you today, the blessings of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, everything that flows from God into your life will come through people. It comes through connection. That's why we're the body of Christ. Galatians 4:7 says, now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you're his child, God has made you his heir. Somebody say, I'm an heir to God. I'm an heir of God. I'm related to him. He is our father. We're celebrating Christmas. One of the most incredible things about this season and about our Lord Jesus Christ is that he came to reveal God to us. It's something that no man had ever really known or seen. He came to reveal God as Father. He came to reveal God as a Father. I think it was Philip that said, show us the Father. Jesus said, any man that's seen me has seen the Father. He showed us what the Father looks like. He showed us the heart of the Father. He showed us how the Father acts. Jesus said, I don't say anything. I don't do anything that the Father hasn't already instructed me to do. The greatest revelation Jesus brought us was that of a Father who loved us enough to pay the sacrifice to redeem his lost children by the blood of his Son so that they could be free from Satan, sin, and sickness and come back into fellowship with him. Not as forgiven sinners, not as just people with a second chance, but people that God looks at now as if they had never even sinned. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. It's called justification. He's our Father. Somebody say, he's my Father. Now here's what you've got to understand about me. I've never had a father. I do have a father. Obviously, I'm here. But I've never had a father in my life. I've never known what a father ought to look like. I've never understood that. I've never had that. That can be a harsh reality at times as an adult. It's something I'll never know what it's like to have one. I can be one, but I never had one. I didn't have a daddy to teach me how to throw a baseball. I didn't have a father calling to make sure I was doing okay. I don't to this day have somebody that I can call my father and ask him for advice, or somebody that comes to pick me up and take me to breakfast on Saturdays. I don't have a father to love on me. I don't have a father to speak life over me. I don't have a father to recognize my abilities. I don't have a father on this earth to mentor me. But can I tell you today, I've got a Father in heaven, and the Spirit of my Father is living in me, and I can call on him, and I know him, and he's always there for me. Amen? And I know he provides for me. And I know he watches over me. And I know he watches out for me. And I know he's got my back. And I know that he can still kick my butt when I need it. No matter how big I get. I've got a father that no man could measure up to, and I belong to him. I bear his name. I was born with the DNA of my father on earth, but when I was born again, I received the DNA of my father in heaven, because the Bible says that I've been created in his likeness. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I've been created in the likeness of my Father. I've been created in the image of my Heavenly Father. And my Father in heaven has called me blessed. No matter how many times my fathers on earth have cursed me, he's anointed me. He's equipped me. He's got a plan for me. He promised to prosper me. He gave me his authority. He trusted me with his dominion. He shared with me his heart. And he shows me his face every single day. And he's called me to keep carrying on the family business in Jesus Christ. God has restored a sense not only of family, not only of a place, not only of a people, but God has restored my destiny and my purpose. I am his and he is mine. If you got a father fracture in your family today, don't you dare hang your head. Don't you dare use that as a crutch. Don't you dare play the victim or use that as an excuse. My Bible still says Jehovah is the father to the fatherless, and in him today I am complete, hallelujah. Nothing missing, nothing broken in me or in you. Can you say thank God today? You have a father. Home is a place where father is. You can always come home to the father. Every week I say it. If you're here today and you're living far from God like I was 16 years ago, I thought I was so far from God, I didn't know how to get back, and I didn't realize I wasn't nearly as far as I thought. I was as close as the whisper of his name, the name of Jesus. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We make it so hard. We see people come in. Don't ever look at them and think, man, they got to do this and this and this to get to God. Thank God that you're here today. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, or who you've been with. I come to tell you today that Jesus Christ loves you. There is a place at his table right beside him just for you. You're a part of the family of God. You belong in this place. And it's as simple as saying Jesus. I'm accepted. The Bible says he made us accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted in the beloved today. I'm acceptable today. He finds me acceptable in a life that rejected me in so many ways. He finds me acceptable. He wants me. I belong here. Church, you've got to get a hold of this in your spirit. Jesus came to restore your ability to belong. Because watch, here's what I got to get to. This is just the introduction. Your roast is going to burn. Totally kidding. I said all that to get this. When I belong, I'm secure. You've got to be secure in who you are in Christ. When I belong, I'm confident. When I belong, the sense of timidity is gone from me. When I belong, faith can grow. When I belong, I'm filled with courage. And there's a boldness about my life. When I belong, I know who I am and I know whose I am. I have an identity that I'm strong in that nothing can steal away from me. When I belong in Christ, it gives me a mission. When I know I belong, I'm content and I'm happy and I'm connected. When I belong in Christ, watch, I'm able to handle the hard hits life blows to each of us. Nobody gets out of this thing without some scars. The only difference is the way they look. Nobody gets out of this thing with no scars. But can I tell you today that when you know that you know that you know you belong in God, you belong in Christ, no matter how hard a hit you take in this life, I can handle it because my people and my place and my purpose at home in Christ is unshaken. Would you stand with me this morning? No matter who you are today, no matter what you face in your life, I want you to have a revelation today of Christ in you. Somebody say, I am accepted. Come on, say, I am accepted. I do belong here. I am secure in him. When you understand that, we let down our guard. We stop being so defensive because God's got a work to finish in you. Stop trying to earn yourself a place at His table. Stop trying to earn yourself a place in His family. Stop trying to earn yourself a place in the heart of God. Can I tell you today, you're already there. That's why Jesus came. And that's why we live so frustrated and discouraged, because we're trying to earn something that can only come as a gift. It's free. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And we've got to get God's point of view on this thing. We've got to see ourselves the way God sees us. We got to say about ourselves what God says about us. You've got to start understanding, I'm a saint. I'm not a sinner. I'm a child of light. I'm a child of right. I'm not a child of darkness. I'm a child of God. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. God called me a city set on a hill. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. The promises of God belong to me. I have an inheritance, not just for later, that belongs to me now. I've been washed in the blood. I've been redeemed from the curse. I've had Satan's shackles of shame broken off of my life. I'm free to live a life without limits. I'm free to walk in the light of God's love. I'm free to rise above defeat. Victory is yours, church. It's a birthright, but it is no accident. It's time to break free from rejection. It's time today to break free from loneliness. It's time to break free from frustration and fear and feeling awkward and being out of place and being a drifter and being insecure. And it's time to break free from that controlling spirit that's got a grip on your life. It's time to break free from bitterness. It's time to break free from resentfulness. It's time to break free from unforgiveness today. It's time to no longer be territorial, and it's time to no longer be clingy. I got something between me and Him that can't be broken, that can't be bought. Nothing can separate me from the love of my Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. He holds me in the palm of His hand, and Satan himself cannot snatch me away. Come on, give Him praise. If you believe that, give Jesus praise. Come on, praise. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes and repeat this after me. Say, I belong to God. Come on, let's say it like we mean it. I belong to God. I have a place in Him, and I give Him His rightful place in me. I am a member of the family of God. I belong in His throne room. I am a vital part of the body of Christ. I am connected to the King of Kings. I am God's property. I was chosen by my Father. I am accepted in the Beloved. I am free from fear. I am secure, confident, courageous. I am strong because in Christ I belong. I am strong because in Christ I belong. I am strong because in Christ I belong. I am at home in Him, and He is at home in me. Come on, give God praise this morning. We praise Your name forevermore, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Friend, it's more than just coming to church. Standing in a garage doesn't make you a car. Standing in church doesn't make you a Christian. A cross around your neck will never put Christ in your heart. Being saved and knowing Him is as simple as saying, I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead after 3 days. And I confess Him as Lord of my life. I admit that I've sinned, and I need Him to save me. It's as simple as calling on His name. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. But maybe you're here today and you're like me. You walked with God at one time, but life happened. Things crept in and you let it crowd Him out. Can I tell you, He's still there for you today. Today's your day to come back home. Today's your day to come back home. Today's your day to belong again. I know what it's like to hate what you look at when you look in the mirror, to be so filled with shame, to be so far into things that you don't know how to get out. Can I tell you, I know a way out. His name's Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he'll take you to the Father. If you're here today and I just described you, whether you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, whether you're here today and you say, Josh, I just need to come back home. I'm going to count to three, and when I do, I want you to shoot your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know who I'm praying with this morning. Just wave at me. That's an acknowledgement. You're saying, Josh, today I want to make that decision. Today is the day of salvation. Josh, today that's me. One, two, three. Josh, today I need Jesus. One, two, thank you. Is there someone else here today? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Is there someone else here today? Just wave at me real big. I see you up there in the balcony. Thank you. I see you.